You know, there's a lot of things going on in the world, and people are facing all kinds of personal issues. Sometimes if you listen to the news and things that people say, you'd think that everybody's gone crazy and the world's falling apart. You know, we need to remember what God has said, not what the news has said. I'm not against the news, but we as Christians need to remember what God has said. Yes. Hello, you there? You're going home already. Yes. So in Deuteronomy 8:1, it says, "Every commandment which I commanded you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and out and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers." Now, God here is telling Israelites to remember, but what to remember? You know, some people remember everything that's happened to them in the past, and if they get a chance to talk, they'll give you a complete history of theirself. But you know, that's not what we're supposed to do. Have you ever met somebody that you just dreaded meeting them because you knew that you were going to, for about 15 minutes, you're going to get an earful of how bad everybody's been, how bad they've been treated, how people have been taken advantage of? Anybody ever meet anybody like that? That's not very much fun to listen to, is it? You go away, you feel ick. But God told the Israelites what to remember. He told them to remember to follow his word. That's what he said here. Every commandment which I've commanded, that's his word. And they were to remember that God was leading them. And they were to remember that they were to live by the word of God. Now, if people live without any guidelines, remembering and looking back at what had happened in the past, it's detrimental to your Christian walk. You know, just look at this. If you remember what you've done or you haven't done, it can lead you to be prideful because of what you have done, or get in discouragement because of what you didn't do. And, you know, and you can't remember what others have done or not done, because this leads you to comparing yourself with somebody else, and then it leads to unforgiveness and being hurt. You know, nobody is supposed to compare. You're not supposed to compare yourself with somebody else. It's you and God, and that's it. You see, a lot of people get in trouble, a lot of pastors, and I talk to them about it all the time. A lot of pastors, they get in trouble because they're comparing their ministry to their buddy's ministry or their friend's ministry. I don't compare my ministry to anybody's. I'm doing what God told me to do, and if I have 25 or 25,000, it don't make any difference. I'm still going to do what God told me to do. That's bring the word of God to whoever is there listening. I learned that a long time ago from my dad. My dad said, "Son, if you're going to preach," he said, "if there's 10 or 10,000, preach the word, preach the message to them." You know, God told them to remember that they were to live by the word of God. You know, without guidelines, the enemy can lead you into fear and doubt and unbelief. But if you remember what the Lord has said, this leads you to faith, faithfulness, and rejoicing. You know, one of the songs of Rhema Singers and Band, I don't know whether any of y'all ever heard the, we used to have our singing group that traveled, me and Dad, before I started the church, called Rhema Singers and Band. Any of y'all ever heard them sing? They used to have a song they'd sing, "Look like what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. Oh, I'm going to praise his name. Each day he's just the same. Come help me praise him. Look what the Lord has done." That's what you're supposed to remember, what God has done and where he's taken you. Learn to look at what has happened in your past as a way of learning, not a way of discouragement. You know, we can be encouraged by remembering what God has done for us in the past. And, you know, no matter what's happened in your life, we need to remember what God has done and what he is doing now. You know, he says there in 8:1, remember every commandment which I commanded you this day. Be careful to observe it, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land. Now, I want you to notice that the question here is, can you quote the word of God better today than you could a year ago? Do you know more of the word today than you did a year ago? Now, that upsets some people when you ask that question. But every one of us should be a long way down the road from where we were a year ago in our Christian walk. We should be growing more every day. Man, y'all are quiet tonight. You know, many people struggle because they don't know God, what God's word says. You know, we've got to realize that God's word positions us to be able to follow him in everything that he has told us to do. We also got to remember that when we know more of God's word, we can better fulfill God's plan for our life. Now, sometimes when you talk about God's plan for your life, everybody thinks about ministry, some kind of ministry. God has a plan for people's lives in the business world. In every part of the world, God has a plan for somebody to be there to be a witness of him in the workplace. God needs people everywhere. God needs people in politics, you know. I don't know whether y'all know Governor Stitt or not, but I know him personally. Do you know the first time I ever met him? He was about 3 or 4 years old in Brewton, Alabama. I preached for his dad. Then, whether you know it or not, his dad came over to Norman and pastored a church in Norman, Oklahoma for a number of years before he retired. And I text Governor Stitt every Sunday morning, along with a lot of other ministers that I text and people that I text every Sunday morning with the message. And I want you to pray for him because he is trying his best to lead this state the best he knows how. And he, you know, everybody don't like him. You may not like him. That's your privilege, but I do. And I happen to know that when he was in Tulsa, that he happened to go to a very good Bible-believing, tongue-talking church that, you know, that he went to. But he got to realize that he's facing a lot of things. But we need to pray for him so that he can better follow God for the plan of his life. And I got to talking about that because talking about everybody has a plan. You know, he didn't really plan to run for governor, but he said he felt like the Lord impressed him to do it. And so he did, and he won, praise God. You know, we need to learn how to realize what's going on in this world. It's not people against people. It's the devil against spirituality and against the things of God. He wants to destroy anything that has anything to do with God. Now, I'm not going to try to get political, but we need to realize that it is not us against them. It's the devil against God. That's what the real problem is. Come on now. Don't look at me like I fell out of a well. I didn't. I don't know where that saying come from, but it's some. I heard it years ago. Remember what the Word of God says so you can live your life the way you should live it. Remember what the Word of God says so you can have increase. Remember what the Word of God says so you can enter into all the blessings and promises of God. Remember what the Word of God says so you can possess the promises. Have you ever noticed that the children of Israel had to possess the promised land? And you see, we need to understand that our promised land is our salvation that we're living out down here. That's our promised land. You see, we have to fight. We have to fight giants. Somebody said, "Well, I hadn't seen a giant." No, you probably hadn't physically, but you probably had some giants in problems that have rose up in front of you. We have to speak to mountains. You probably hadn't had to speak to a literal mountain, but you probably had a mountain of something come up in your life that you needed to speak to. You see, we need to learn to walk in our promised land the way they want. They followed God, and what God told them to do, they did. And when they followed God, they always won. But as you read, the Apostle Paul said that everything that happened to the Israelites happened as examples for us. Well, their example is that God would bless them. And they'd be living good, and they'd turn away from God. And then they'd begin to pray, "Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, deliver us." And God would come in and deliver them and help them. That shows that God is a merciful God. And if you cry out to him, no matter what's happened, he will help you out. And so here the Israelites needed to remember what God had said to them, so they could follow him. Now in Numbers 11, 4 through 6, it says in the New International, the Israelites started wailing and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. But now we've lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna." Now here they are. They were in slavery in Egypt. And now they began to talk about and murmur and complain, because they don't have the food that they had. They were remembering the food they had. They seemed to have forgot the pain and the hardship that they were under. You know, this is what we call selective memory. Yes. You only remember what we want to. And most wives say that husbands have selective memory. Whatever. Now that I got everybody's attention, let's get back to the message. See, the Israelites are like some people are today. They forgot what God said and only remember what didn't happen, what went wrong, and what they didn't have. They're only remembering they're not remembering all the bad stuff. They're just remembering the good stuff. You know, it's unfortunate, but a lot of people live at 125 East Regretful Place. Regretful because they've missed opportunities. Regretful because they messed up in a situation and it cost them. Regretful because the words they spoke caused them harm. Regretful because they went a certain direction and ended up in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. Regretful because they didn't listen to God and it cost them money. You know, but we don't need to dwell on what has not happened. We need to dwell on what can happen and what will happen if we follow God. Now, one of our board members years ago, the Kenneth Hagin Ministry Board, It's all businessmen that have really big, strong businesses. He was in the development business. In fact, he's out of California. He developed a whole city out there. In fact, one of our Rhema grads has a church in that city. He would buy parcels of land and develop it. And the way it started off was he worked in a bank. And the bank repossessed a piece of property, and he was able to purchase that piece of property. And then he, from there, he was trying to sell it to oil company to put a service station on it back in the day. It's back in the day when we pumped gas, you know. You didn't have the self-serve. So it was back in the 70s. Well, or 60s, I guess. And so he had gone to all these oil companies, and they had. Well, he got up and was shaving one morning, praying and asking the Lord what. Said, "Now, Lord, you directed me to buy this piece of property, and now I've gone to, and I hadn't been able to sell it." And the Lord said, "Go back to certain oil company." He said, "I was just there yesterday, and they said no." And so he sort of passed that over and started praying again. And he heard the Lord say, "Go back to this oil company." So reluctantly, he got in his car. He went back to their headquarters there in Los Angeles. And when he walked in, they said, we've been looking for you. We lost your number. We want to buy a lot. And we have just found out that they're going to put a freeway through, and that's going to be this piece of property is going to be right off the freeway. It's going to be a main intersection. We want to buy a lot for our service station. Well, they bought a lot for the service station for what the whole piece of property cost. He developed the rest of it and sold it. But he said, "The way I got to where I am was listening to God and following what he's told me to do." I'm telling you this story, so we need to learn to listen to God and do what he tells us to do. Sometimes it may not seem right. I mean, it didn't seem right to go back to that oil company. He had just been there the day before, and they said, "No, quit bugging us. We don't want that piece of property." But now something has changed. Hello?
Yes.
Look what would have happened if he wouldn't have went back. Because they had lost his number. They was trying to get a hold of him, couldn't. But see, God knew this, and he directed him back. Miss Lynette, she does all the decoration at all the buildings over there on the campus. I don't know how many we got. Too many, but we need them all. But when we were decorating, I don't know what we were decorating. What? Huh? My office, okay. That's a long time ago, back in the 70s. Anyway, she was looking for a certain piece of furniture for my office, and they were all too expensive. She said, "I'm just not going to waste money like that." And so she was praying, and the Lord told her to go back to this store. And she said, "I just was there yesterday." And the Lord kept telling her, "Go back to that store." When she went back to the store, that piece of furniture was sitting right inside the door, marked down 70%. And she was the first one there, and she got it. But see, a lot of times she argued with the Lord a little bit. Sometimes God will say something to us. He's leading us and directing us. We got to remember to follow him. Not what it looks like, not what it feels like. Come on. See, many missed opportunities because we don't follow God and read the word. We got to remember that it's God leading, not us. You know, we can look back at the past and we can see everything that went wrong. We can look back at the past, though, and begin to see how God was using that to get us to where we are today. As I look back, why did I have to leave Bible school in my senior year, October 1962, and go in the U.S. Army? I went for 3 years in the U.S. Army. Back then, they had the draft, and if you went in the draft, you got 2 years. But if you joined, you might get a better job, and I did. I got a very top-secret crypto, worked with communications and different stuff. But why would I do that? And then now I come back, I get married. Of course, I'd already been preaching. I started preaching when I was 18, and I'd already been preaching. And I come back, and I get married, and Lynette and I, we take off to go into ministry. And then that was in 65. And in 67, I was become associate pastor with my father-in-law there in Garland at Southside Assembly of God. And we were destined to take that church over. And we helped to grow it when we were there. And, you know, I was satisfied and so forth and so on. And then God began to deal with me to come and work for my dad. And it looked like a step backwards because she had gotten her license to do hair and she was making four or five times as much as she worked 4 days a week and make four or five times as much as I was making as associate pastor full time, 24 hours a day. If the phone rang in the church at 2 o'clock in the morning, it rang in my house and I had to answer it. And sometimes it'd be some drunk. I know I'm not living right, but would you pray for me? I always pray for him, go back to sleep, but because I can do that, you know. But if you never been in the pastor's house or the associate pastor's house, you don't understand that stuff. But you do get those kind of calls. Is that right, Brother John? But you know. I left there. I had preached. I preached every Sunday. I was in charge of everything. We were in charge of everything, just about everything in the whole church, overseeing it. And now I come to work for my dad because the Lord led us to come there. We take a cut in pay. And now I have no preaching responsibilities so whatsoever. All I'm doing is reading contracts, setting up meetings in all kinds of hotel ballrooms and civic centers and all that, because that was right in the middle of the charismatic renewal. And it looked like I missed it. It looked like a step backwards. But I would not be where I am today if I hadn't went through those particular things, because I learned things there. In the Army, I learned things. I learned things in setting up those crusades that is crucial for me now as I run this worldwide operation with 250 Bible schools in 51 nations, 4,000 pastors and churches, and a lot of other ministers underneath us in the ministry of helps, in the music and children and youth and so forth and so on. I could not have done that if I hadn't followed the leading of God and stayed with where I was going through. What you got to remember is He leads you in paths. And sometimes it's because in those paths that He's leading you in, you get character and obedience. You learn how to get forgiveness and love. Oh, Lord, yeah. I had to learn that one because they talk about me like crazy, but I don't care no more. You learn to be humble and do what God told you to do. I mean, it was not easy to let go of the fact that I was going to be the pastor of that church. And we'd had about 300. We started, I think, 250, and then what, up to close to 600 when we left. I was going to be the pastor. Everybody knew it. You know, everybody in the section, in the district, everybody knew that I was. And all of my buddies, some of them I went to Bible school with, they all thought I was crazy. They said, "Man, you're leaving a gold mine." I said, "Well, this, but that God said, go." Now, what am I talking to you about? I'm talking about when you learn to follow these paths, you end up in abundance. It may not be abundant getting there, but as you follow God, it comes out. When you get to the final destination. You know, sometimes God takes you through certain things so you can walk out the plan for your life. You know, we remember that God led us in what we were doing. And it eventually ended up to where we are today, Lynette and I. We walked this road. In fact, when we walked up the steps, I'd waited here and she walked down that center aisle. Her dad and my dad, they both did the ceremony. Well, he gave her away and then he went up. And then we walked up the steps to the altar. The song was going on. Huh? Yeah, because I just went blank. I had it and then I went blank.
Turn on my. We'll walk the road of life together day by day. And will I love you every step of the way.
And we've walked the road of life. That's why not together. It's been a together project. If I'm down, she says, this is what God said. Come on. Or if she's down, I go the other way. We're where we are today because we learn to follow the path that God was leading us in. If you learn to follow the path God's leading you in, it'll eventually end up in blessing. But you got to follow His plan and do it His way. Now, there have been a lot of times that I didn't want to do some things, but God said, do it. And so we did, and it ended up right. You see, I had to, working with my father for 31 years, I got to humble myself. And when it comes to that position underneath him, is it's no longer father and son. It's the head and the helper. Come on now. And because I learned to operate that way, I learned it with my father-in-law. We had been there a week and we walked in that church and we were walking around looking and he stopped. We all halfway down the aisle. He stopped and he looked at me and her and he said, when we come through that door into this church, there's no such thing as daughter and son-in-law. It's associate pastor and associate pastor's wife. Said, outside of these walls, it's family, and here it's not. I learned that many times in that 31 years. Dad said some things, and I knew it would be better to do it another way, but that's the way he said do it, and I told a lot of people that's what he wants, and it's going to get done with you or without you. You make up your mind which one it's going to be right now. I've told a lot of people that, but I'm still here. I told one guy, he was mouthing off and messing around, and actually he wasn't doing his job. And I told him, I said, hey, you know what? I was here when you came, and I'm here when you're gone. Pick up your check. Someone said, that's hard. No, you can't afford to let people hang around and be dead wood when you're using God's money. And this ministry, it's God's money. I don't control that. That's God's money, and I don't take any of it. I get a salary, and that's it. You know, it's God's money. And I go home every day from that office. I say, God, if we spent a dime today that we shouldn't have spent, you tell me where it was, and I'll correct the problem. You know, that's the way you got to live your life. Underneath God, you know, in Deuteronomy 8:3 says, he humbled you and allowed you to be hungry and fed you with manna. Now see, we have to humble, sometimes have to learn how to be humble. You know, some people say to me all the time, they say, well, man, you just act like a natural person. You're not like a lot of these others. I mean, I go to the door every Sunday morning over there. One of the four doors. I make all the pastors do that. We shake people's hands. We go to the hospital and do different things. They say, well, man, somebody in your attitude, they don't even talk to people. And I said, well, that's them. That's their deal. That's not me. I'm going to do what I can do to help everybody. You know, we're not to live our lives based upon certain emotions or feelings or our position. Position don't mean anything. But the Word of God does. And we live by the Word. You know, learn to depend upon the Word of God. You can make it through anything if you learn to depend upon the Word of God. You know, as a kid growing up, most of you know about my dad. He was known as the modern day father of faith, which he hated that title. And he told him that wasn't his title, but they give it to him anyway. And we went through some tough times and we didn't have some things, but he followed God and the plan of God for his life. And in the end, we ended up with blessings, but they've been as many times we didn't have enough food. We didn't have money. And I'd say, what are we going to do? And Dad would say, we're just going to believe God's promises. This is just another chance to prove God's word works. You see, I've been there when the chips were down. I've been there when there wasn't no food on the table. I've been there when we didn't have any money for gas. And I've seen God move in our behalf. I know if you'll follow God, that you'll end up with the blessing. The reason some people don't get the blessing is because they're not faithful to do what the Word of God says. They're not faithful. If you're faithful, God will provide. If you're faithful, God will protect. You know, what He has done in the past, He will do in the future. That's the way I live my life. God, You have brought me through all of this, and You can take me through to the end. I believe that. Some people say, well, you're sort of simple. I say, I may be a simple Texas boy, but I know one thing. I know my God. And I know what God says. If God said it, I believe it. That settles it, period. I'm not interested in somebody's theory on what. Well, now this is what I think God meant. Hey, don't come at me with that, because I believe God said what He meant and meant what He said. The Word is the Word. It says everything can pass away, but His Word will never pass away. Yes. You know, I had my grandfather, my mom's dad. I didn't know my dad's dad. He used to tell me, son, you're only as good as your word. He went on to be with the Lord when I was 12 years old. He would tell me, son, you're only as good as your word. If your word's no good, then you're no good. He said, if I shake a man's hand and tell him I'm going to do something, if it costs me money, I will do it, because I give my word. God has given His word, and He will do it. Hello? How many of you believe that God will do what He said in His word? You know, we can look at our past time of struggles and barely get along and complain about it, or we can look at it and say, yep, we were there, but God brought us through. Yep, we had a bad situation, but God turned it around. You know, it's a matter of how you want to look at it. You know, some people, they look at the negative all the time. Everything's negative. Well, you take a negative and turn it into a positive. Hello? That's what my dad used to say all the time. He said, you know, he would say, hey, we know what Halloween is, but let's take that and turn it into a positive for the kids. Turn it into a positive. You can turn everything into a positive for God, if you will. Amen. You know, the truth is, God has been good to us. Amen. We have His promises. We have His provision. We have His peace. We have His presence. We have His power. We have His protection. I can confidently say that you can live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. That's what He told us. It's what He told us to do. Then somebody said, well, I hadn't heard Him say anything. Then you hadn't read the Bible. Because this is God speaking. Okay? Learn to thank God for His goodness. Learn to thank God for His abundant grace. Learn to thank God because He's faithful and just to reward us if we will be faithful to follow Him in everything we do. Has it been easy to follow God through all my life? No, it hasn't been easy. Have I wanted to quit? Lots of times. But I didn't, because I know what God said. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And I'm going to go down the road. Hello. Heavenly Father, I try to remind these people tonight for us just to follow you in everything that you said. Remember what you said in your word and do what you said in your word. I pray, Father, that everyone will have gotten what they needed from this message. Not everybody needed everything, but everybody needed something that I was said tonight. Father, I thank you that as they lead their life, that they'll follow your word and find that you will give them the blessings at the end of the journey. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord.